is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face, a sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. Diehards, say hello to Chris Voss. Like, what are some new strategies that you can give our diehards to, like, break through the noise? There's so much noise. There's so many people on. There's millions, some platforms maybe more than that, billions. Like, of people. So how do I become known? How do our diehards break through that noise?
Writing books, of course, is a very popular thing. Giving speaking and stuff. But you've got to start talking daily about what you're passionate about. Podcast is a great way to get that out. But you've got to start sharing what you know. Even if you're not sharing what you know, invite people on to come on. I mean, I don't know dick. Half the reason I know anything is because I have a podcast and I invite people like you and Jeffrey who are smarter than me to come on my podcast and talk about intelligent shit. And I just go, yeah, yeah. And then people are like, that Chris Voss is really smart.
Oh, man.
That's the whole trick right there. So, you know, to me, the thing I love about my podcast, the thing I love about social media and this interacting is you can learn so much from people, and you can be adventurous, and you can ask questions about life, and you can learn about stuff. And if you're going to be a salesperson, you've really got to be multifaceted. You've got to be able to sell to the 18-year-old. You've got to be able to sell to the 40-year-old. You know, whoever you're, when you walk into that sales office or make that sales call, you know, for all you know, you could be talking to millennial, you can be talking to baby boomer. You've got to be able to breath the ability to gain rapport with people on all those different ages and levels and cultures and different things that are about people so that you can get along with them. You know, can you talk to somebody who's, you know, a sick priest, or, you know, someone who's a Jewish rabbi, or, can you talk to somebody who's, you know, a millennial? Those, you know, if you can get them to look up from their phone for 5 seconds, you know,
you just put a priest
on Instagram so that you can get to them through the phone.
That's right. I love how you just put a priest, a rabbi, and a millennial all into a room.
Yeah, that's like a new joke thing.
I get it. I guess so. Okay,
priest,
so
a rabbi, and a millennial walk into a room. Which one's not looking at their phone? I don't know.
So, are there specific things people should avoid? Like, besides their pictures of male stripping and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You might want to, you know, a profile picture is really important.
Mm-hmm.
People like look at yours behind you in the Sell or Die podcast.
Yes.
Yours is exciting.
I
look at that picture and I'm like, when I watch that show, holy crap, these people are motivated. They're exciting. You know,
thanks.
Me in my picture, I think I'm asleep. I'm like,
I doubt it. You're probably being like, the Chris Voss show.
Yeah. I'm just like, hey, it's your filthy uncle that you see at Thanksgiving and wants too many hugs.
So, oh, man.
I always look like a cop, too. I doppelgang for just about every cop in the world, especially if I wear sunglasses. I don't know, someone from the Midwest. But no, I mean, look at your branding, look at your profile photos, look at how you're presenting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Someone did, I have this picture of mine and I had to finally quit using it because I just got too old, but it was my younger pictures and I'm like, yeah. And someone wrote a book I hope they forgive me because I don't remember who it was. It was like 2011. And they said, one of the great things about profile pics is you want it to match your personality. And so your picture there matches your personality, your energy level.
Thanks.
And people said that about me. They said the great thing about Chris's profile photo is it matches his energy, matches kind of who he is. It captures that thing. So I would say look for photos or pictures of yourself. And don't do a staged photo. I mean, don't do a photo where you have a phone in your hand and a calculator or some shit. I hate that crap. You ever see that? And they paid a professional to do that?
The new thing now, I wish you guys could see him. And the new thing now is to make a staged photo look unstaged.
Yeah.
So it's like you're like caught by surprise or like, oh, you know, like literally like faking that it's staged.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you paid for that photo? I mean, exactly. It just looks so overdone. So I would say be humanistic, be fun, be interesting. Don't do a photo. The other thing I hate is when I'm on LinkedIn and someone has like that morgue photo, that coroner photo, where they're just like
they look like angry almost.
just like dude, what do? You do coffins for a living or something? What's going on over there, man?
Diehards, say hello to Michael. I'm not sure, but did you guys like pioneer the inbound marketing trend or am I just imagining that?
Yeah, so the trend was something that was happening out in the world, right? It was something that was sort of just occurring, generally speaking, back, started maybe 2005, 2010 at
the
latest.
So long ago.
Yeah, way back when.
At this point. it's evolved a lot. It's moved quickly, right? And I think HubSpot was a well-timed company. I joined it in 2010, and inbound marketing was already, on its way, right?
Yeah.
And I think that phrase, those two words, inbound marketing, or something that we spent a lot of time and effort coining, but we actually chose not to trademark it, not to make it a brand asset of our company. We chose to sort of put it out there and let the market do what they wanted with it. I think in retrospect, that was a very good call because it was something that was just happening out in the world. And we've been a very happy beneficiary mm-hmm. of this trend where, the internet has really radically changed the way that people shop and buy.
So what's different now?
Oh, man. So if I think back 10 years ago to when this trend was starting, and we used to get on sales calls with prospects for HubSpot, people that were thinking about buying our product. And, they would have done their research, right? They would have Googled us.
Of course.
They would have read a couple blog posts. They would have, seen a few things online. And they were reasonably well-educated, but a lot of the power still rested with the salesperson and with people like me who would get brought in to help with the close of the second voice. That was then. I think nowadays, when people approach that sales call, that first sales interaction, they're dramatically better educated because they have so much more information available to them. So they still read our blog posts. They still check out our website. But now, they read like 50 reviews of our software mm-hmm. on review sites. Now, they talk to like four or five customers that they found through Facebook or LinkedIn or some referral network, right?
Or your group.
And it's just really different than the way it used to be, where maybe they had like a buddy that kind of knew who we were. It's just now we're so much more connected that it's so much easier to get recommendations from people, and word of mouth has become much more powerful.
And do people ask you a question like, why should I pick you? I'm already using Salesforce.
They'll ask questions like, how do you stack up to competitors, stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you think, is Salesforce a competitor of yours or is it more the MailChimps of the world?
It really depends on the use case, to be honest. You know, there's some folks who really view us as an email provider. That's cool. We do that. There's some folks that view us as an entire CRM from marketing to sales service. That's cool, too. We're sort of here for whatever folks want. You can slice off pieces of us.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Motivation Monday.
So, Charlie, tell us about your post and what you're doing. How did you get to top three?
All right. So it's a couple things. The first one was trust. And I learned that from my grandfather and my mother. They used to sell vacuum cleaners. And I sold vacuum cleaners. And there's a company called Electrolux. And they would knock on doors ever since 1952 up until I was able to retire my mom about 4 years ago. Just always sold vacuum cleaners. And my last name is Jabley. And in Buckhead in Atlanta, Georgia, the Jabley name was a name brand. And it lasted for so long that people just trusted us. So the first thing I did when I got on Instagram in January and told my stories, I just wanted to build trust. That was the first and foremost thing. What is my name brand? You know, is my name brand going to be, you know, like if we were to take, for instance, shoes, like are they Walmart shoes or are they, you know, Nike shoes or Christian Louboutin shoes? So that's how I wanted to approach it. First and foremost, the foundation was trust. The second thing is what my oldest trick in the book is, and I would do it in the music industry. I remember when I was living in my mom's basement, I didn't have a choice, you know, to basically, long story short, I didn't have money. And I just signed this group. And the only thing I could do to promote the group was posting MySpace comments. This is back when MySpace was very popular. And I would spend 8 hours a day. And my strategy was called, like my marketing strategy, I would call it boiling water. Too many times in marketing, we try to like go out into it and boil an entire lake. But that's impossible. Like you just can't do it. But if I gave you a pot of water and you put the heat on it, it will boil. And if you add a little bit more water to that, then that will get boiling. And if you add a little bit more to that, then that will get boiling. And next thing you know, you got a big body of water and it's all boiling. So that has been my philosophy. And I would start with a neighborhood. I'll start with a small group of people on MySpace in a certain neighborhood. And then I would add their friends and I would comment under those. I got up to where I was doing 8 hours of commenting a day. And we went from my mom's basement to having three records, top 20 in the country. And that's what propelled us. And it was just, I would want to find one play and I would want to run it. I would never want to be that CEO or that businessman that relied on some big phone call or some big relationship that made me. I wanted to be the factory worker CEO. I wanted to take the widget and put it in the sprocket a million times because I could actually count myself, I could do my own numbers and figure out how to become successful. So I did that with Travis Porter. And then when I discovered 2 Chainz and how we took him from, you know, a falling off rapper who had nothing going on all the way up to winning a Grammy, I would press up hundreds of thousands of CDs and I would stand outside clubs every night, 4 o'clock in the morning when the clubs would let out in Atlanta, and I would pass out those CDs. And I would want to dominate these certain clubs because that was my version of boiling water. I wanted everybody who walks out of these clubs every day, every week to know who we are. And at first they would throw them on the ground. But then I would say, when I would pass out the CD, I'd put a little extra enthusiasm in it, or I would say the right thing. And somebody came up to me one time and said, Charlie, why are you doing this? You're in your button down shirt with your tie. And the CEO is passing out CDs. I said, nobody's going to pass them out like me. The street team might throw them in the trash or put them in the car. Like, nobody's going to know. And they might not say that right thing when they're passing it out. But I passed out hundreds of thousands of CDs myself. And we took 2 Chainz from nothing all the way up to 150,000 a show And I mean, there's a lot of other things that are involved in it, but the core element was simply passing out those CDs.
This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.